Let's turn to Psalm 37 here tonight. I would like to be relatively short. Y'all are going to get preached at all week next week, and or all week this week, Wednesday through through Sunday. And I would just like to talk a little bit about something here the Lord actually showed me this week. I hadn't really noticed too much before. Psalm 37:1 is a real familiar passage to most of us, and there's a ready-made sermon or two in here for anybody that'll just look. But for all that familiarity, there's still something here, again, I'd never really taken much of a notice of. Psalm 37:1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Now, Father, we ask you to remember us here tonight as we come for a final meeting, I suppose, before our revival meeting starts on Wednesday. Lord, we'd like for it to be a revival. We'd like to see some folks come in and get locked in to some of the things of God. I hope that you might revive the spirits of some folks that may be a little bit on the fringe, maybe more on the fringe than they used to be a few years ago. In the meantime, Lord, tonight we pray that you might just feed us, give us a little bit of insight here into something that can help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some real common promises, some real common admonitions here in chapter 37, verse 1. And yet, I got something out of it this week that, as far as I can tell, might just be useful to the extent that it prevents disaster. I'm not sure what you've been looking at, who you've been paying attention to of recent months and recent years, but you don't have to look very far to find Christian disasters, you know, around about us. Folks fallen, folks not doing what they should be doing, not doing what they were doing a few years ago, maybe even a few months ago, and so on and so forth. But in verse 1, you find, of course, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, it says, don't fret because of evildoers and don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Well, that's good advice, right? Don't fret thyself because of evildoers and don't be envious at folks that do wrong, that do evil. We all say amen to it, but truth of the matter is, you know, we kind of obey that half-heartedly. A lot of us aren't interested in being real evildoers. Nobody here wants to be like Michael Jackson. Right? I mean, nobody wants to be a dirtbag. Right? Nobody here really wants to, you know, go through life and die with a reputation like Ted Kennedy. Right? I mean, you don't want to be like that. But while you say you don't want to be like that, at the same time, you'll hear somebody, and maybe it's just a little voice in the back of your head that says, but I wouldn't mind having his money. Or I wouldn't mind having his influence. Or I wouldn't mind having his, you know, his power. Nobody with any sense wants to be a groupie, dirtbag, NBA star, pierced with a bunch of tattoos and living like a dog in heat when he's not playing basketball. And that's what they are, by the way. But, well, be nice to have his tithe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're just kind of that way, right? I mean, it was just a few years back, young folks said, you know, I tell you what I remember. I remember the day, you know, when Britney Spears was just coming into vogue, and I can't even name you a song she sings, so don't worry about it. But I remember she was coming in vogue, and what she was presented as was this virtuous, young, clean rock star, you know, who was actually above the system. I mean, she had the rock music and all that, but you know, she was her purity intact, and she was, you know, just an all-American girl. Yeah, how'd that turn out? So young folks. Nowadays, the end thing is, I think it's Hannah Montana, and she's presented as something of the virtuous, young, up-and-coming. I got news for you. That's a trap. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now, it says, fret not. Problem is, you look at the lifestyles of the wicked, of the doers of iniquity, and again, you see their money, and you see their privilege, you see the way they get to live, you see their fun, and you see just get to see some things, and you think you're seeing it all. You're not seeing it all, but it bugs you, it frets you inside. You know, for guys, you know, it's not some little, you know, curly cute girl singer or something, but you know, it's some other guy that lives more wicked than him, but still has more stuff, and it seems like he's more blessed. It just seems like, you know, he doesn't get it in the neck too much. And you get it's fretting. Now, the interesting thing about fretting is that when you look up fretting in the Bible, the first times you find it are in Leviticus 13 and 14, and you find it four times. And it's fretting leprosy. And it's fretting leprosy in a piece of cloth, in your skin, and in a house. And a fretting leprosy is a leprosy that spreads. It spreads in the cloth, and it spreads in your flesh, and it spreads in your house to the extent that you burn the house, you burn the cloth, and if it's in your flesh, you're a leper. Right? It's fretting. It's spreading. I'll tell you what you have to watch out for. It says, it warns you already once in verse 1, fret not, because if you're not careful, fretting spreads. And it says there, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Then it says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Envy spreads. Envy is a fretting thing. Who's able to stand before envy? Right? And so, that's what I wanted to talk about, and you know, you say, okay, I take warning about that then. Well, good, because by the time you get down to verse 8, there's an interesting development. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself any wise to do evil. Back in verse 1, it's fret not thyself because of evildoers, don't be envious of them. By the time you get down to verse 8, there's been a little bit of a transformation, because now you're being encouraged not to do evil. You go from being the fretting of being envious at the wicked or being fretful about the wicked to fretting yourself into doing wicked. It's a developing thing. These folks went, you know, if you follow the passage, they go from thinking about the evil to doing it. Now, there's one more verse I want you to see on fretting. Stay in Psalm 37, but look in Proverbs 19 just a second. Proverbs 19. And this is a problem that we all have. This is a problem that we, and it comes in a couple of different ways. But notice Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. It's fretting. And so back in Psalm 37, you're told to fret not. Again in verse 7, fret not. In verse 8, fret not. And that fretting goes from thinking about evil to doing it if it works on you long enough. That's what I wanted to talk about. You know, the title of this sermon is Diffusing the Bomb. And what I mean by that is, first of all, I recognize that everyone has battles with stray thoughts and stray desires, with wayward thoughts and with envious thoughts, right? And what you need to understand is those thoughts are the seeds of action. There's just a certain number of steps between thinking about something and doing something. But there's a lot of difference between thinking about something and doing something, because in thinking about something, thinking about things can be sin. I don't want you to misunderstand that, because it can be. But if you're just thinking about it, there's still a way to recover yourselves, and there's a way that the cat's not out of the bag. But once your thoughts become actions, now the cat's out of the bag, and the horses are out of the barn, and the chickens have flown the coop, and all those other things. And all of a sudden now all the seed is sown, and you're not going to recover all that. You're going to have to reap what you sowed, right? And that's the bomb part. And what you're looking at in Psalm 37, as he starts out by saying, you know, fret not thyself because of evildoers, and it has to do with somebody's thoughts. And then you end up with somebody in verse 8 actually fretting enough to actually do the evil. And what is in between is the critical stuff of how he didn't defuse the bomb so that he didn't do the deed. And I wanted to talk to you for a little bit about that. You know, I tell you, folks, everybody here knows of lives, Christian lives, that are wrecked by the thoughts becoming actions. Okay? And if you've ever seen a human shipwreck before, every human shipwreck has to do with somebody's thoughts becoming actions. When you wrestle, for instance, with temptation, what you're doing is fighting a fight over keeping your thoughts from becoming actions. And I do understand that there are temptations of thoughts as well, that you need to keep from thinking some things. But, you know, for simplicity's sake here tonight, when you're fighting temptation, generally speaking, you're fighting the battle of keeping your thoughts from becoming actions. Now, there's two things I want you to see here that this will apply to, and then this will go pretty quick. In 37.1, I divide 37.1 into two different things, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't. First of all, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In other words, I tell you what lays heavy on our hearts and minds these days, and it's getting the better of some. That's things like the Obama presidency. Okay? Okay, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. I'm sorry, you got an evildoer right there. And if you're not careful, you will fret and worry about these things, about things like the Obama presidency and the America falling and everything going downhill and the economy and the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati and the whole thing, and you fret yourself because of evildoers. There's a way to worry yourself into doing in verse 8 something stupid or becoming something unwise, right? There's battles worth fighting and there's battles not worth fighting, because you're not going to make a hill of beans a difference in a battle, some battles that you're going to fight. Pick the ground that's worth bleeding over, as Brother Keck says. Maybe he'll say that this week. I don't know. You got to pick the ground that's worth bleeding over, and it's not worth trying to fight the Illuminati. I'll tell you that right now. You understand? That's the first thing. I'm talking about fretting not thyself because of evildoers. We're surrounded by wicked men. Those wicked men have always been around. There's always been principalities and powers. You got to keep your nose to the grindstone. You got to get your eyes on Jesus Christ. You got to keep going forward and quit worrying about a bunch of other stuff round about. Now then, there's another part to this, though. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Another kind of fretting that gets to you is looking at the evildoers and being envious of their lot in life, of looking upon some of their things, looking at how carefree their life seems, how profitable their life seems, you know, how progressive and just whatever. You know, the Bible says, with respect to that, says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, right? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will make a way of escape. I want to show you the way of escape. And I believe this is the way of escape. Maybe there's another one, but I believe this is the way of escape. Because you have a guy here wrestling with, fretting in verse 1 about his thoughts, and he frets and frets and frets, and before it's over, he does the deed. You got to defuse the bomb. There's something that has to happen between thinking the thought, and look, we're all going to have some thoughts, okay? But letting it trouble you until you do the deed. There's some things that have to happen. First of all, notice verse 3, and it's a pretty ready and given outline here, but think about this with me for just a few minutes. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I mean, first of all, keep in mind that, you know, they're going to get taken down at the knees, right? You got to remember that. I don't care how much fun they have. This has been a year for movie stars and former, you know, culture stars, going the way of all the earth. Farrah Fawcett Majors is dead now, and whoever else, Michael Jackson's dead, and all those people. And there have been a lot of folks through the years that envied those folks. You really want to wind up like them? I don't. So it's wise to remember they get cut down at the knees, right? But first thing, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. How do you keep the occasional wayward stray thought from becoming action? Well, the first thing you do is trust in the Lord. Now, there's an interesting thing here. Would you agree with me that if you obeyed every commandment in the Bible, you'd be in pretty good shape? If you obeyed all the thou shalts and thou shalt nots of the Bible, genuinely obeyed them, we'd be in pretty good shape. It's interesting, is it not, that there is not I don't think that the word obey or obedience shows up anywhere in chapter 37, 1 through 8. I don't think. It does say trust in the Lord. And what I got thinking about with that is, the Lord says, thou shalt not. Don't do it. And if you obey, you'll be in pretty good shape. I'll grant you that. But have you not learned that obedience without trust is kind of a losing battle? See, when you want to do something and the Lord says, thou shalt not, and you go, okay, and you just don't because, well, you want to, but he said no. I know where that's going. Eventually you'll get the gumption and go ahead and try it anyway. What the Lord's asking you to do, among other, he's telling you to obey, I'll grant you that. But when he says, thou shalt not, and you don't really understand, I tell you what he's telling you. He's telling you to trust him. When you say to your little kid, now, don't wander out of the yard. Do not leave the yard. If you leave the yard, I'm going to give you a spanking. Oop, I said. If you leave the yard, I'm going to give you a spank. I'm going to give you a timeout. The kid goes, why? Why can't I leave the yard? I think it's several reasons. You might wander into the road and get creamed by a cement truck. You might wander into a blizzard and be lost in the wilderness forever. A predator may come and eat you. You can go through all kinds of scenarios. You may get kidnapped by Jacob Wetterling's kidnapper. But the thing is, a parent's not going to go through all that explanation. In the end, what the parent is telling the 4-year-old to do is not leave the yard and obey me, but underlined behind it all is, trust me. It's best for you not to leave the yard. When a teenager comes and says, can I date? You say, no. Why? I can name 468 reasons, but I don't have time right now. Trust me, it's not time. He's a dweeb. And you are immature and not ruddy. And the answer is no. And that's only two reasons. I have 467 others. Right? Say, trust me. See, the thing is, there are 10,000 thou shalt and thou shalt nots in the Word of God. And if you obeyed them all, you'd be in pretty good shape. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't trust God for If you don't trust God enough to obey Him in it, strict obedience is not going to get you by. And you know what I think? I think that's why it doesn't mention obedience there. It says trust. It says trust in the Lord and do good. But Lord, I have the opportunity to leave to move town to a town where there's not a good church, but it'll give me $20,000 more a year. Don't do it. Why? You can think of 1,000 reasons. Trust me. Right? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Why? Trust me. Right? Thou shalt not. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Right? Folks, obedience is the key action, but it's real trust that inspires real obedience. Right? All right, there's something else here. I said I'd be quick. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the second one. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Here come the wicked. Here comes Obama's henchmen, economic and otherwise. There is your neighbor, and he lives like the devil, and it just seems that everything that he touches turns to gold, and he never seems to have any money troubles, never has any problems and all those sort of things. And, you know, why can't my life be a little more like that? If you're not careful, you go from thinking those thoughts to doing something dumb. To doing something stupid. Right? Alright, trust in the Lord. He says, thou shalt not. He lays down principles. If you don't see sometimes how the principles work in everyday life, you're going to have to trust Him for it. And you should. The second thing is, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, folks, the brutal truth of the matter is that you would be a slave to what you delight in, pretty much. If you like it enough, if you're not careful, you'll become a slave to that thing. There is nothing quite so overpowering as that which you delight in. You know why people serve sin? I understand there's a point where it becomes bonds, where you can't stop and all that. But I can tell you right now, without going into a lot of detail, the reason people serve sin is because they love it. They like it. And you can go down the list of all the sordid things in this world that people do, and the reason they do them is because they like it. As a matter of fact, they love it. They have a passion for it. Right? They delight in it. And, you know, every human tragedy, you know, like I said, every human shipwreck you see, what that is the fruition of a garden of perverse delights, where somebody's given themselves over either to one or two or three or four or five or six, and the fruits of those delights have finally borne them out and worn them down so that they lie, you know, to stay true to our little allegory here, on the shores, and shipwrecked against the rocks of the shores. Well, you got to be careful with runaway delights. Okay? There are all kinds of things in this life that people delight in. I mean, the Packers and the Vikings, you know, played this afternoon. There were idiots out there, you know, with cheese hats on and their bellies painted green. I mean, really. You know what I'm saying, folks? I mean, folks are there. You got to be careful, even Christians, you got to be careful with runaway delights. And what you have to be careful, I'll tell you some things to be careful for. You know, we talked about the, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Our present governmental issues. I've met folks fairly recently who, I believe what's being manifested is that they love America more than they love God. To them, you know, I think that they thought that, you know, the Marine, There's Marines here. But that, you know, the Marine motto was Bible. And that liberty and freedom in America and the American dream is like, you know, the silver rule or something. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know folks right now. I know a guy right now that is struggling to death. Of course, he hasn't been to church in months. But he's struggling real hard right now about whether, you know, he needs to go find somebody and try to get a second American Revolution going. I can understand the sentiments. I really can. It ain't going to work. Not in Laodicea. Not in this late day and age. You say, what's the point? Well, where he's off base, honestly, folks, what I believe is that there are Christians that have fallen more in love with America than with the God of America. Some folks long in the second part of verse 1 there, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They long for the revenues of the wicked more than they long for the Lord. And that's what troubles them about our present state in 2009 in this country. Now, I'll tell you what, if you've set up that idol, the Lord's going to kick it over. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, we're talking about how to defuse a bomb. We're talking about how, you know, you have some thoughts about some things and you're fretting and worried about them. And how do you keep those from becoming actions where you wind up messing up the rest of your life by doing or becoming something stupid? Trust in the Lord. And obedience is implied there. And secondly, delight thyself also in the Lord. It is your responsibility. It is your initiative. You are responsible for what you delight in. You say, I just, you know, really like the... If you really need to fall in love with the Word of God. You really need to fall in love with the things of God. And I'll tell you what He promised you. In verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What He promised there is that if you will delight in Him, He will meet you at least halfway, and you know as well as I do, probably more. He'll meet you halfway and start to give you and feed you desires that are the right kind. And you won't get off base chasing butterflies out and down the left field foul line and wind up shipwrecked in life because you fretted and your fretting became action. All right, notice something else here in verse 5. Trust in the Lord, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Being committed. It's not the same. It's pretty close to trusting. In fact, it uses trust there in the verse, doesn't it, verse 5. So it's pretty close to trusting. But you trust in the Lord, you delight thyself also in the Lord, and then you commit your way unto the Lord. Like I said, being committed. Packers fans are committed. If it had been 10 below, there would still be guys with their big pot bellies hanging out, painted gold. Right? I mean, you know, they are committed. My father-in-law, he was a committed Democrat. I mean, from Jimmy Carter on, Jimmy Carter was virtually the second coming of Jesus Christ. And every Republican since then was just the Antichrist incarnate. He was a committed Democrat. I've met a couple of committed feminists. I don't know if I told you guys this. I forget. I saw a unique bumper sticker the other day. It said, all men are idiots, and I married their king. It's on the back of my wife's car. No, I'm kidding. I was just thinking, man, I read that, but I'd never seen the bumper sticker. I was thinking, boy, she's fun to live with, I bet. That's a committed feminist, man. All men are idiots, and I married their king. Folks, a commitment means exposure. When a military commander commits his troops to a frontal assault, there comes a point of no return. And you're committed, and the only way is forward. Right? Seriously. A marriage is a commitment like that. And it means exposure. It means that you've committed to somebody for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. It's a commitment. And she, you know horror stories of health issues and those sorts of things. You know, in a marriage, it's exposure. And there can be no reservation in commitment. He says, I'm in. And what the Lord's saying is, listen, the way you diffuse thinking, wayward thoughts, and fretting about things and the what the wicked are going to do to you, and yet at the same time being envious of the wicked for how good their lives seem from your perspective, grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You got to trust in the Lord, folks. You got to trust Him for your Bible. Just the craziest thing where people even in our crowd are now getting shaken and don't think they have a Bible in their laps that is the Word of God. You got to trust Him for the Bible. You got to trust Him with your family. You got to trust Him with your soul, and you got to trust Him enough to step out, every day and walk with Him. You got to delight in Him. Every shipwreck, human shipwreck, is a tragedy of what somebody loved wrong. They delighted in the wrong things, right? And you got to commit your way unto the Lord. Again, in verse 6, it's basically, in verse 5 rather, trust also in Him. Commitment and trust are a lot the same thing. Then I want to show you verse 7 for just a second, because then it says, rest in the Lord. Now it says four main things. Trust in the Lord, 3. 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Now here's what we do. Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that's, that's a salvation rest, and you get to go and rest in that respect. But, when it comes to fighting a practical battle against sin and the battles of our own hearts and thoughts, which is what we're talking about, right? Our own desires and our own lusts. I tell you what we tend to do. We tend to want the rest part way too early in the formula. By that, I mean, you have some things that you have to take care of first before there's going to be any rest, before you're going to have real tranquility. God's not going to give you rest just because you come to an altar and say, oh, Lord, give me rest. He's not. I mean, if this is true, you first of all got to trust in the Lord. You got to make up your mind whether you believe the promises of the Bible. And whether you're willing to rest in those promises. But you're going to have to trust Him. He's going to say, no, I don't want you doing that. You say, but I don't understand why. I can't see why. He says, well, I'm not going to tell you why. Now, you know what? I'm not God. That's probably good. But you know what? If I was, I'd do things different. I mean, if I had the power and you said, and I said, don't do that. And you said, why? And you weren't snotty about it. You were just respectful. You said, oh Lord, why? I'd explain it. I would. I guess I would. I mean, I would have the power to impart my thoughts to you, and I wouldn't have to spend a long time giving a speech or anything. Just, and you know. Don't do that. Why, Lord? Because. And you know. And you go, oh, bing, I got it. And then we'd all be happy. But He doesn't do that. You know what He says? He says, trust me. Don't do that. Why? Because I said. Trust me. You have to make your mind to trust in the Lord for answers that you don't get. You don't know why. It's just like, man, I'll tell you what, I don't get this. Moses never got it. Every time Moses thought he knew what the Lord was going to do, he didn't do it. Seriously, you just go read it. You know, he kept the apostles, he kept poor old Peter twisted in a knot all the time. Every time Peter thought he knew what was going to do, Lord! The Lord say, get thee behind me, Satan. That's just frustrating, man. Christian life is frustrating in that way. You're looking for answers and, you know, you think you've got a line on it. And then the Lord goes, that's not it. You go, well, what is it? He goes, I don't know. Trust me. Right? But seriously, you see, you want the rest or too early in the formula. The Lord wants you to trust Him. And then, second of all, it's like this with your kids. Go do this. And have a good attitude about it, too. Because, I don't know how you are, I guess it's probably good that I'm not God, but go take out the trash. My response to that is very gracious. You better straighten up your attitude, boy. You better put a smile on your face. Right? Do this and do it with a good attitude. Is that not what's going on here? Trust in the Lord. But why? Just do it. Trust me. And have a good attitude about it. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Is that not what's going on? That is what's going on. And you're not to the rest part yet. Because the third thing is, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit to it. Commit to it. I mean, okay, I'll do it this time. Oh, you'll do it next time too. Or else. Right? I'm serious. See, I mean, you trust in the Lord, trust me, have a good attitude about it, and do it that way every time. And then rest in the Lord. So we want the rest, and we want the peace to, you know, enter into our souls and stuff, but rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And those things come first. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. And how many people do you know that, lost people like this, but I tell you what, I know Christian people that are just bitter and angry at stuff. And when it comes to the church, when it comes to people in the church, when it comes to the pastor, when it comes just about anything to do with the Lord, as a matter of fact, when it comes to do, I know Christians that have worse attitude than lost people about general stuff in life. They're just angry, and they're just angry and mad all the time. Okay, all I guess that indicates is that none of this took. And you're going to have to go back to verse 3 and start over. Because the Lord's not going to put up with it. I mean, whatever else is the case, you know, He let Job by with saying some stuff. But in the end, Job forsook wrath. And in the end, Job said, I don't have anything else to say. I've opened my mouth when I shouldn't have. I wish I hadn't. And I got nothing else to say. And that's what the Lord's really after. And he says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. If you will do those four things, I believe you can keep your wayward thoughts from becoming actions. And you'll defuse the bomb, and you won't sow that crop, and it'll keep you out of a mess. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for a good night here tonight. We pray that you'll help these things to be helpful. We look forward to the rest of the week. We really do. I hope folks are excited about it. And Lord, I hope that you will give us some relief from a lot of the sickness and stuff that's going on. It's kind of distracting, and I know it's hard for folks. Some one parent coming to church in the morning, somebody else in the evening. I know that that's difficult. We pray you'd get us back on our feet, allow us to have a few days of respite from this. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 261. Time to get started with a little reviving as a Sunday evening before revival starts. Amen. So maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. It'd be kind of nice to get a couple obstacles maybe out of the way before we get started for earnest on Wednesday. If you need to come, hope you'll feel free to come. Turn to number. Let's look this way and sing number the fifth stanza. Flyers back there on that back table in the foyer. Did they all get taken? Just a handful? Everybody grab a few and take them and put them out in your neighborhood or something. We don't want them sitting around here and become scrap paper, all right? Remember John Simone's card back there. Make sure you sign it on the way out, even if you don't write a note down. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we're in anticipation of a good week here this next week. We're trusting you for your blessings and for health and all those things. We'll probably fight the devil here this next week in many respects, Lord. We already have in other respects. We pray that you will bless the battle, help us to keep the kind of attitude we need to have. And, Lord, we pray you give us blessings here this next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.